People have raised a few questions with me since we started announcing our intention to support a couple of decentralized projects. One of those projects is called Cordal, which is by Jason Crow, or at least he's the pioneer of it. A lot of other people involved, and I interviewed Jason Crow. And Cordal, which is spelled Q-O-R-T-A-L, by the way, Cordal is a decentralized platform for content publishing. It has decentralized chats, but the important thing is that you can build apps in his system, you know, mostly client-side, you know, JavaScript type of apps that interact with the Cordal blockchain. And I encourage everybody to get familiar with this technology, download the software, which is free. It's at cordal.org, I believe, yes. And then you can install the software, you can register a name. You know, I registered Health Ranger, which costs like less than $2, I think, or something like that. So I registered Brighteon, whatever. And you can run nodes, so you can participate in being a peer-to-peer relay in that system. And I think this is critical because there's going to be more censorship. And why I'm also digging deep into decentralized finance, or DeFi, as it's called, cryptocurrencies, it's for the same reason, because there's going to be a lot more financial censorship. And, you know, I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but folks, things are going to get a lot worse in America before they get better. A lot worse. We're talking full-on authoritarian dictatorship, you know, communist regime takeover, massive attack on America from within with the CCP soldiers that have been placed in the United States through the open borders and so much more. Okay, we're going to be lucky if the Republic survives. In that process, the authorities are going to come after your right to read information or to view content that you want to view, censorship of content, but also they are increasingly coming after your money or censorship of money by limiting your ability to use it. They want to put more restrictions on bank withdrawals, they want to restrict your right to withdraw cash, ATMs, to wire money, to write checks. In fact, there was... Here it is. This is a crazy story that just popped up on my radar here from bombthrower.com. And they did the due diligence on this. And it's true that if you go, here it is, if you go to NatWest Bank, I guess that's, what is that, Nations West or something? NatWest, you go to their website, you see the same thing on their site that you see in person. If you go to their website, then you see the same thing that you also see in person, a sign on their banks. It says, quote, looking to withdraw cash? Get this. This is from their sign that they post on their windows at their banks, okay? Our primary aim is to keep customers safe and secure, and our branches follow our processes carefully to achieve this. This will include asking you questions about the purpose of your cash withdrawal. Right? So they're going to interrogate you about taking out your own money. We may also ask for supporting documentation such as an invoice. What? What? Like you walk in, I want to take out $5,000 and like, nope, you need to show us an invoice. What's that for? Maybe you want to donate $5,000 to a church, right? Or maybe you want to buy a $5,000 used car with cash. I don't know. It's none of their damn business what you're doing with your $5,000, right? But their sign goes on. It says, quote, this helps us validate the withdrawal as genuine and protect you against fraud and scams. You see, so by interrogating you, they're protecting you, they say, against fraud and scams. Of course, this turns their bank into a fraud and a scam because you put your money in, you just can't get it out. Good luck. Good luck. Here it says, please note that it is advisable to give 24 hours notice on large cash withdrawals. That's any amount over 2,000 pounds. Oh, I guess this is in the UK here. 2,000 pounds. Or if you would like specific denominations, you can pre-advise us of your transaction via our customer contact form or in branch. or team or in branch. Sorry, okay. In some instances, we may choose to decline the cash withdrawal based on the information provided surrounding the transaction. This will be at the branch's own discretion. For more information, please review our blah, blah, blah. Okay, so basically, they're going to interrogate you, and if they don't like your answers, they won't let you take out cash. Imagine that. Imagine that. And of course, I've told you true stories about what happened to me recently. For example, when our nonprofit CWC was issuing about $500,000 in donation checks, and how the bill payment service froze all that, wouldn't issue the checks, you know, called and said, oh, you know, we froze it all, we flagged it as possible fraud, you know, because I'm just trying to donate money. And by the way, that money was donated to us first. And I think we're going to have the full public disclosure about that soon, so you know where that money came from. But I just want to check with that donor, by the way. Nevertheless, this is what we do with a nonprofit. We give grants, and we just gave out $500,000 in grants. And the financial, you know, the bill pay system refused to do it at first. They finally did release it, by the way, so everybody got their checks. But this is what they do. They harass you, and they slow you down. And we temporarily lost $30,000 when Silicon Valley Bank collapsed, by the way. And that was a check that we were paying to a vendor, specific vendor. I don't know if it was like organic beans or something like that. I think that one was whey protein, actually, come to think of it. And the money just vanished, right? Now, they eventually restored it, but I think that was only after the FDIC stepped in and bailed out the bank. And then our whatever bank that the vendor was using somehow got their money, and then Shazam, it magically reappears. So people talk about risks of crypto. Are you kidding me? Look at the risks of just using the banking system. I'm finding, and this is one of the reasons why I really pivoted on this issue, I'm finding that cryptocurrency is actually more reliable, faster, a lot less risky. It's not going to just collapse overnight and lose everything. Now, I understand that crypto has had a lot of crashes following like FTX, Sam Bankman fraud, right? There have been a lot of losses there, and they can happen. But man, in the banking system, you can have 100% loss just like that overnight, and there's nothing you can do about it. Not a thing. Where in crypto, you are in control of your money. You are in control of your wallet. Like RFK Jr. says at the Bitcoin conference, you should have the right to run your own node, to control your own passwords, to have your own wallet, and it's not the government's business how much money you have in there or what you're doing with it, what you're spending it on. You know, as long as it's not illegal, like you bought, I don't know, a non-functioning Patriot missile system for $1 million or something. You know, weapons of war like rocket launchers or something. No, you're not buying that stuff. You're talking about buying toothpaste, you know, or tampons or whatever. You just don't want the government to know what it is you're buying. Or maybe you're buying bullets for your little ranch rifle. Nothing wrong with that, but it's not the government's business, you see. And the banking system, what I'm seeing, it's broken. It is just broken, and it's full of risk. So I have been digging, as you know, into both decentralized content, which is Cordal, and decentralized finance. And the only coins that I have come to the conclusion are worth looking at are coins that have some sort of built-in privacy features. And, you know, Monero is one of the best. And Monero is a coin that, you know, I've used a couple of times over the years. Just to pay for like VPN services, right? Just to kind of check it out and learn how the ecosystem works and see how it is. And then, you know, I talk about Epic Cash recently, which is kind of not that well known to a lot of people, but it has built-in privacy because of its Mimblewimble blockchain. And I guess, you know, when I announced that, yeah, we're going to accept these coins as payment in our online stores, people had questions, like, what are all the coins that you will accept? Well, I'm hoping, although I have to hear from my devs on this, but I'm hoping that we'll be able to accept frankly, hundreds of coins. We have to see how the integration actually works, but I specifically want to make sure that we can accept privacy coins, or privacy-oriented coins, as I call them. They're not sometimes positioned as privacy only. That's just the nature of their code or their blockchain, like the Mimblewimble blockchain. So some coins are just naturally private. And I specifically want to make sure that we can accept those coins as a form of payment. Now, you know, just to be clear, we will probably immediately sell those coins, at least at first, unless we can start to buy from our suppliers. But we will probably sell them, even if, you know, for fiat, so that we can pay our bills and so on. But understand that this is all booked as revenue with us, and there's no tax evasion. I just want to be clear, not advocating tax evasion. We'll be paying taxes on that. It's going to be earnings in the accounting system, which is all automated anyway. When we make a sale, it doesn't matter the form of payment, whether it's a credit card or a check or upcoming crypto. It's all part of the same accounting system. You know, we earn profits, we pay taxes on the profits, and it doesn't matter what the form is. But what I hope is that at some point we can use crypto to buy supplies from our upstream suppliers so that we don't have to go into fiat back and forth, and we can just keep it more and more in the world of crypto. Just use crypto as money with the same accounting system, by the way, but that other vendors would accept crypto because it's a more reliable payment system. Think about it. If I'm buying, let's say, whey protein from a vendor, and I need to write a check for $30,000 through the fiat currency banking system, that check can vanish. Actually, the funds can vanish. Like, the check was already, in essence, cashed, but the funds vanished. So the money's lost, or at least it was temporarily. That's the fiat currency banking system. In crypto, as long as you have the right address of where you're sending it to, whether it's Bitcoin or Litecoin or Monero or Zcash or whatever, as long as you have the right address, that money is going to get there. It might take, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. And on Bitcoin, it might cost a lot more because Bitcoin's been kind of jammed up lately, had a lot of high costs lately. But on Litecoin, it's fast and cheap, by the way. It's just that Litecoin has a very public blockchain, which, you know, should be noted by everybody. But Litecoin's fast and it's cheap, you know, and the money that you send arrives quickly. Instead of going through a bill payment system where it's days, and then maybe you're going to be interrogated, and maybe they're going to say no, maybe they're going to flag it for, quote, fraud when it isn't, or maybe a bank is going to fail and you lose everything. Instead of all of those questions and all of that risk, if you just buy Litecoin and send it on Litecoin, let's say, it's there in 5 minutes, done. And there's no way to claw it back, by the way. So there's no canceled checks. You know, there's no chargebacks. Like, the vendor can rest well at night knowing, hey, I got the Litecoin. It's all good. Now I can ship out the whey protein. You see? That's why, frankly, crypto is a superior form of digital money. There's just no question about it now. And maybe 5 years ago, I would not have argued this point because the banks weren't collapsing in our faces every day like they are now. You know, 5 years ago, they would just give you the cash you wanted, or they would just let you send a wire, or they would just honor the check that you wrote. Now, it's this big song and dance. Oh, we got to talk to managers. We got to flag everything. We don't know if we can trust you. You know, we can't let you use the money the way you might want to use it because we don't know if we can trust what you're doing with your own money. Like, are you kidding me? But that's what the banks have become today. And it's only going to get worse, a lot worse. So this is why we want to have crypto as our tipping system in our entire ecosystem, but starting with Brighteon.com. So I've mentioned this, we've been working on a fiat currency tipping system for I think 2 years now. And it has, it's been a very big project, and I hope I don't have to just can the whole thing. Because to allow people to tip others in fiat currency, it's complicated. You have to let people purchase on a credit card, and then they get some kind of, you know, token for that purchase, and then they they tip those tokens to content creators like, hey, I love your video. Here, I have 10 tokens, which would be a dollar equivalent, by the way. Every token was like 10 cents. And then that content creator could, you know, retrieve or just get all those tokens in their wallet, and then they could cash in the wallet for a fiat currency check. You know, they get paid, but then they have to provide, you know, tax information, right? What is it? The W-99? No, W-4s, 1099s. I don't know what all the forms are, but stop laughing at me. I can't memorize all these dang IRS forms. But whatever they are, then we got to collect all those forms, and then we got to send out the checks. And in the meantime, like, we're custodians of people's money, which puts us in a position of holding other people's money in banks that we don't know if they're going to collapse or not. I mean, how bad would that be if, like, let's say you're a content creator on Brighteon and you've collected, this is like $500 worth of tips because your videos are good and people love your videos. And you're like, okay, yeah, I want to cash out. And you want us to send you the check for $500. And we're like, okay. So we start to issue the check, and then shazam, the banks go down. Or they just decide, no more checks, you know, or they freeze it. We don't trust you, you know, interrogation. You can't do business that way, because we would get screamed at by the content creator. Like, where's my money? Why are you holding my money? You know, I can see it. No, this is a fraud. You know, you kept my money. You didn't give me my money, right? I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to hold other people's money. So we've come to the conclusion that a far superior system is to just have a crypto tipping little widget, basically, where you as a content creator, if you post videos on Brighteon, you can enter like your receive wallet IDs, for example, for Monero or Epic or whatever. And then other people can tip you just by seeing your QR code there, or you're copying your wallet address, whatever. And with privacy-oriented coins, by the way, that public wallet ID does not reveal your entire wallet. It's totally safe to reveal that. It's not the same as with Bitcoin, where that wallet ID is on the blockchain. But we just want to allow people to tip you using whatever crypto they have. Maybe it's a privacy-oriented crypto, maybe it's not. Maybe they just want to tip you in Bitcoin or Litecoin. We want to support that too. And here's the thing. This is a question I was getting. Some people were asking me, well, do I have to report this to the IRS? It was one of the questions. Or do we report it to the IRS? Look, number one, you need to comply with your own jurisdiction. Okay. So tips are a form of income, right? Just like if you're a waiter at a restaurant, you have to report your tips to the IRS as part of your income, right? So if you receive tips for your videos, same deal. It's part of your income. So of course, yes, you report that the same as any other income. But maybe you're outside the US. Maybe you're in some other jurisdiction. Well, you need to follow your local laws, whatever they are. And the thing is, that's your business, not our business, because we don't handle the tips. You see, when it's crypto, we don't touch it. We don't even know what's happening. It doesn't go through our servers, doesn't go through us at all. We are not custodians of tip money, which is awesome. You know, the user that likes your video is sending you a tip through Bitcoin or Monero or Zcash or Pirate Chain or whatever it is. That's between them and you. We don't see it. We don't know about it. We don't want to know about it, you see. We don't have a log of it. We don't have a record of it because it doesn't touch us. It's that person sending to your wallet receive address directly. Well, peer-to-peer, right? Peer-to-peer. So you receive those tips, and that's done. And seriously, we don't even know about it. We have no way to know. And we don't want to know. Because frankly, I don't want to work for the IRS and collect everybody's tax forms and issue a bunch of checks and have all this extra accounting. Look, somebody wants to send you a tip, you know, 10 bucks because they love your video. That's them. That's between them and you. And then you are responsible for whatever happens next, whether you convert that to fiat, whether you hold it, whether you, I don't know, swap it for some other coin, whatever, but it's your responsibility to report that in alignment with whatever your local laws are. That's between you and your government. It has nothing to do with us. And if the government comes to us one day and says, oh, give us all your log files of all the tips that everybody got, you know, my answer, what log files are you talking about? There literally are no log files because this is not a transaction that went through us. What you need to do, I would say to the feds, is you need to just go look at all the blockchains, which they do. The blockchain is the public record of who received what, by the way. And Bitcoin is a public blockchain. So they're just going to go through the Bitcoin blockchain, tie it to your name and your social security number. Aha, you received all these tips here on these days or whatever, or people sent you this money. And they're going to say, explain that. But if you receive tips in some like a privacy-oriented coin, like Monero or Epic or whatever, then it's virtually impossible for them to know what's on the blockchain. That does not absolve you from the legal responsibility to comply with local tax authorities wherever you happen to live. That's on you, right? So, you know, just get yourself a good accountant and figure out how to do all that. But the reason I'm promoting these two projects so far, and by the way, I am open to other projects, but I'm going to, if you contact me about a project, let me tell you, I'm going to try to break it. First of all, I'm going to install it. I mean, first of all, you have to get my attention with something that is like something innovative, something different. And frankly, both of these projects, Cordal and Epic, I heard about them through people I already trusted. It was Sayer G that told me about Cordal, right? And it was Josh Sigurdsson who told me about Epic, right? So that's how I heard about both of these. But if you want me to look at your project, let's say if you have a project, I'm going to download it. I'm going to install it. I'm going to try to break it. I'm going to use it. I'm going to, you know, mess around with it and see what it is. I'm going to study it. And I'm not interested in just Me Too technology or things that are, you know, public blockchains or things that are fully transparent to Big Brother. I have no interest in that because I think privacy is absolutely key for the future that we all face together. But I am very much open to other projects. And in fact, I would very much love to interview somebody who's involved in the Monero project. And I've put that out before, but I didn't hear back, not that I know of, from anybody with the Monero project. So if somebody's out there and you want to come on for an interview, I would love to do that. And I have some questions about the Ring, what's it called? The Ring, I don't know, Ring wallet IDs or something. I don't know what it's called, but I understand the concept of how it works. I'm just wondering, like, can you make your blockchain smaller? Is there some way to do that? Is there some kind of pruning or something? I don't know, but I have questions and I'm open to talk to other people as well. So I want you to understand that I am here to facilitate the use of these technologies in order to help humanity be more free. That's my goal. I want to live in a world of freedom. I want to live in a world where you have the right to use your own money in the way that you choose without interference or oppression. And because I also practice what I preach, I've already said this publicly, I, for my own personal savings, you know, retirement savings or whatever, I am getting completely out of fiat currency banks and I'm moving into just gold and silver and crypto. And that's it. And some of the gold is vaulted, by the way. It doesn't mean I have it all physical, but I do have some physical gold and some physical silver and some amount of crypto across the spectrum, different tokens, some more of one kind than another. And that might change. And probably because I've been blessed with more than enough to live on, thanks to your support. And I don't have a lot of demands. I'm not interested in luxury items like boats and mansions and whatever. But probably because I'm blessed with enough to live on, I'm going to give away just about everything I've ever earned in my life, ultimately, anyway. Just like I give away right now, I give so much money away constantly. I'm giving out grants. We donate, you know, like we just donated, what was it, 100 and, oh, how much food did we donate recently? Food and supplements. I forgot, 100 and, was it 140 $48,000 worth, I think. Is that, do you recall? I put the video out there and we donated, Health Ranger store food, supplements, non-GMO vitamin C, vitamin D, and so on. And we donated that to, what was it? Convoy of Hope and Harvest Time Ministries. And I filmed the pallets and we shipped those out. And it's just, that's just an example. I have no need for sitting on, I don't know, fiat currency or cryptocurrency for any serious length of time. I am interested in living in a free world and helping humanity. And in that case, with those donations, was trying to feed some hungry Americans. I don't want to live in a society where people are starving all around me. I want people to have food and nutrition, because then their brains work better, their bodies work better, society works better, right? I mean, and plus, life is short. We all come and go. The question is, what do you leave behind? You know, hopefully you don't die on this hoard of money that you didn't put to use, right? So put it to use. And that's what I intend to do. And I've been doing that over and over and over again. So if any of these crypto coins, if I make anything on these, if there are any net profits after whatever net losses happen, because there'll probably be a lot of losses too. If there's any net profits, I'm going to put it to good use. I'll just put it that way. So the bottom line is, well, let me just step back and say it this way. We've already been financially blacklisted, by the way. You know, I was cut off from PayPal. I've been cut off from other financial services. So it's very clear, by the way, the fiat currency financial system doesn't want to do business with alternative media organizations like mine. So frankly, they leave us no choice. And the same is going to be true for you. Eventually, they will get to you too. Whatever they do to me first, they will do to you next. Like they censored me first, but they censored you after that, right? Well, they financially deplatform me, they're coming for you. So we actually have no choice. We either go off-grid from the conventional fiat currency system, or we end up having all of our financial assets frozen, seized, you know, confiscated, or just isolated where you can't use them, which is what they did to Russia, by the way. It's like, oh, yeah, sure, you still, quote, have your $300 billion in Western central banks. We just don't allow you to use it anymore. So we didn't really steal it. We just froze it. Yeah, okay, same thing, same thing. They're going to freeze your money. They're going to roll out those ESG scores with the CBDCs. They're going to freeze your money because you didn't bow down to, you know, transgenderism pride celebration month or whatever, right? Well, here's the thing about crypto. Crypto doesn't care if you're gay or lesbian or trans or bi. Crypto doesn't judge. You know why? Because it's code. It's freaking code. And it's distributed code, which means that no one person can change it. There's no centralized authority. That's the whole point. A bank can make a judgment. Oh, we don't like you because you supported Trump. Or we don't like you because, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, they might say. Therefore, you can't use your money, right? That's what Justin Trudeau did in Canada. It's not a conspiracy theory, folks. That's history. That already happened. Correct? Already happened. But crypto doesn't care what you believe. Crypto doesn't care if you're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, Sikh, whether you practice Islam or Catholicism or whatever. Crypto doesn't judge. Crypto doesn't care, again, if you're trans or straight or homosexual or whatever. Crypto is money freedom for everybody because it's code. It's source code that is running. And the source code is not subject to the whims of a centralized authority. And this is why I believe that the future of transactions for free people, i.e. people who want to be free, is going to be found, at least in the digital space, in decentralized finance, peer-to-peer cryptocurrency. Locally, it can be found in gold and silver, right? Locally, you can hand somebody a piece of silver, like a pre-1965 coin, you know, in exchange for something. Oh, here's a loaf of bread. Here's a pack of garden seeds, whatever. But over distance, and especially in a borderless global way, if you want to send money to somebody overseas, you can't really send easily a piece of gold in the mail. It'll probably vanish, by the way. It'll probably get stolen by somebody who works for the post office. That's what happened to me. I eventually got that one back, by the way. But I've noticed that a lot of things disappear, and then they only come back after you really inquire about them. You notice that? Whereas with crypto, you don't need to trust anybody. There's no carrier. You know, there's no tracking number because it just goes through electronically. So digital money is the system for freedom. And that's why I am implementing it. That's why I'm supporting it. And that's why I'm personally using it myself and disclosing it to you that I'm doing so, by the way. I'm not just standing back and saying, oh, you use that system, but I'm not going to. I'm going to keep my money at JP Morgan, but you should use crypto. No, I'm using it first. I'm hoping to have payroll in Bitcoin, you know, to be able to pay my own employees in Bitcoin. I haven't figured it out yet, but we're working on that. I'm implementing these solutions on my websites. I'm walking the talk and using this because I realize we have no choice. Whether you use it or not is completely up to you, right? I'm just making it available as an option. If you want to buy food from us and have nobody be able to track it, well, there's going to be a way for you to do that very soon. Or if you want to give somebody a tip on Brighteon and you don't want anybody to track that, there's going to be a way to do that. And it's your right to do so. And I'm going to continue to do this unless if someday, you know, if there's some federal law or something that says, oh, you're not even allowed to, you know, to use crypto at all, which would be insane because what? There's no right to have a contract, have an agreement with somebody else? Are you kidding me? But whatever, if the federal government passed some kind of onerous, horrible, tyrannical law and said, you can't even display QR codes or something. Well, you know, I would have to remove that feature at that time or face prosecution. If that's the situation of how tyrannical they want to go, you know, they don't leave us much choice. But that may never happen, especially if we get somebody like RFK Jr. into the White House or Trump or DeSantis. Pretty sure DeSantis is pro-crypto. I know he is. I'm not sure about Trump's position, but I'm pretty sure he's open to crypto. I know RFK is. We just got to get a pro-crypto person into the White House so that we have the right. I mean, this should be a First Amendment right, right? The right to free speech. Crypto is a perfect example of a First Amendment right, you know, freedom of expression through money, by the way. But if they try to take it away from us, we need to be able to have representatives who will legislatively or otherwise fight against those tyrannical controls so that we can have the freedom to use digital money in the way that we see fit. And again, it doesn't absolve you from paying taxes. Should you go to, I don't know, maybe you sell stuff at a farmer's market and everybody pays you in crypto, guess what? You're still liable for the taxes on the gain that you experienced there. And believe me, you know, if you use a public blockchain, especially, they're going to track you and they're going to bill you and they might fine you if you fail to report that. So this is not about evading in any way your responsibility to your local tax authorities. This is simply about decentralized finance so that governments can't tell you what you're allowed or not allowed to do with your own money. That's it. And that's why I support this ecosystem. Now, finally, one more thing, especially for those of you who are Bitcoiners, we intend to be crypto neutral, or let's say crypto agnostic. We have no intention to ban any specific coin or token. We want to be able to accept every token. Obviously, I favor those that have privacy types of features, and that's what I'm hoping to deploy first. But ultimately, we want to be able to embrace tipping systems and payment systems and every kind of crypto. Again, crypto agnostic, because, well, some people like to have different kinds of coins, and that's great. Some people like to use different kinds of coins for tipping, and that's great. It's up to them. It's up to you. It's your choice. Freedom. You know, wow, what a concept, freedom. So we just want to enable this in an ethical way that is aligned with your choice to do what you want with your money. There's nothing that we are doing that would ever enable anything like money laundering, for example. You know, people pay us with crypto to buy, let's say, a bucket of wheat. Okay, that was a purchase of wheat. That wasn't money laundering, unless you want to launder your money into buckets of wheat. Go for it. I mean, we'll ship you all the buckets of wheat that you want. Non-GMO, organic, lab tested, obviously. So if you call that money laundering, okay, whatever. I just call it selling buckets of wheat. there's no money laundering aspect in any of this. There's no tax evasion. There's nothing. This is simply private money, which is your right to buy the things you want to buy without prying eyes limiting your purchase options and without people telling you what you can't do, which is what the banks are all involved in right now. So cryptocurrency is honest, ethical, even you could say moral money, because it's aligned with human freedoms. And I see that now in spades more than ever. And I'm, because of these recent experiences that I've been through and because of what happened in Canada and so on, I am more of an advocate of this now than ever before. And I don't mean to say that there aren't scams and rug pulls and frauds and so on in the crypto space, because there are. There's a lot of crazy junk stuff out there, even some crazy NFTs that I just can't imagine why people would buy those things. But hey, financial freedom also means that you can buy whatever you want. If you want to buy digital pictures of bored apes or whatever, go for it. That's up to you. Not my place to tell you you can't. I just don't understand that. That's all. But I would rather buy maybe more ammunition or something. I don't know, something useful. Or primers. I don't know. But to each his own, to each her own, right? As well. It's up to you. Do what you want to do with your money. All right. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also brighteon.com. And you should expect some announcements in June from us surrounding both distributed applications, perhaps with Cordal, and also distributed, you know, DeFi, distributed finance, peer-to-peer currency, tipping systems, e-commerce systems, and things like that. And I hope that what we do serves as an inspiration to others to embrace these solutions as well. Because the more of us use this honest form of money that can't be surveilled or can't be confiscated, then the more free we all become and the more choices we have of where to spend the money that we've earned to buy the things that we wish to buy. So help me spread this concept. Implement this, get familiar with crypto wallets like Exodus Wallet or Atomic Wallet, Cake Wallet, bunch of wallets. Get familiar with how all the coins work. Get familiar with the whole ecosystem, because our world is going into digital money. You're going to be using digital money one way or another. The question is, will you use the government's central bank digital currency slave control system, or will you choose a pro-freedom system based on peer-to-peer money, which is decentralized finance? That's the question that each person faces. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Take care.